Every year, this is the Sunday in which I also remind you that we welcome you to bring poinsettias with you to church. We've done that in several different ways over the years. This year in particular, I think it is good to bring those poinsettias with you to church to fill up this space with a visual reminder of the peace that we carry with us from here back out into the chaos of the mall, the shopping, the parking, the schedules, because the world is shifting again. Daylight is slipping away faster than we're ready for. We gained an hour, but then also somehow it's still too dark in the mornings already. The cold is coming in. It might snow, it might not snow. Our neighborhoods are starting to glow with lights. Stores are filling up with garland and ornaments and toys. And your calendar is filling up too, isn't it? With school concerts and office parties and family trips and travel plans, and all of it is just moving forward faster and faster toward Christmas. With a familiar mixture, I guess, of both excitement but also exhaustion, you can be exhausted from all the good things you do at this time of year. That's fine to have both. They do kind of go hand in hand, I think. And if we're honest, the way that this season rushes toward us makes us kind of almost feel like we're running on automatic, like we're just moving through the patterns we've walked through thousands of times, which is a good thing, but also not always a good thing. And as this season arrives, it whispers to us a reminder to slow down, to pay attention, because something holy is happening in the midst of all this ordinary. So bring with you to church poinsettias. Let's fill up this space as a reminder of that slowing down, that paying attention. Something holy is happening. Because the truth is, even when our routines are humming along, we carry a quiet awareness that not everything around us is the way it should be. Beneath our schedules and traditions and decorations, there's a longing for the world to make sense, for the world to be at peace, no longer driven by anxieties or rivalry or fear. We long for a world that feels whole. We long for something that is better, calm, secure, stable. And that longing is not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of God's presence. The ache is evidence that God is drawing near, that there's hope for change just around the corner. We stand in that place between the world as it seems to be and the world the way that God is changing it into. It's neither something that it used to be and neither something that it could be. And we wait not with a resignation, but with expectation. This season leading up to Christmas teaches us to pay attention, because God comes quietly, not in bustling Jerusalem, but in quiet little Bethlehem. Like a dawn that spreads across the edges of the night, it invites us to trust that routines are not the whole story, that beneath the ordinary rhythms of our days, God is already at work. And so the season begins, and Isaiah steps forward. The prophet stands on the edge of a fractured world and announces a vision bold enough to wake up the weary. It's this glimpse of the world that God desires to build. It's not wishful thinking. It's not sentimental hope. It's the future that God is in the process of forming even now. Isaiah's vision is not an escape from reality. It's a deeper reality that is breaking into this mess. And he offers this breathtaking image. Nations streaming upward toward the mountain of the Lord, people hungry to learn the ways of peace, weapons that are no longer needed and reshaped into tools that cultivate life instead of taking it. But Isaiah never pretends that the world is already like this. His vision rises because the world is still full of conflict. still full of fear and uncertainty. His promise glows because the darkness around him is very real. And if we pause long enough, we can recognize that same tension in our own world. The longing for peace is almost always born out of the honest recognition that we just don't yet have peace. We live in a world where nations still rattle their swords at one another, where families still live in fear, where mistrust grows faster than reconciliation, where our own inner lives sometimes feel divided. We know how quickly peace can fracture, and we know how fragile hope can feel, and we know how tired our hearts can become waiting for a world that looks more like Isaiah's vision than the nightly news. And it's into this tension between worlds that Jesus speaks, not to silence that ache, but to deepen your awareness of it. His words in Matthew disrupt any fantasy that we can predict, that we can manage, that we can control the unfolding of God's future. Jesus says the arrival of the Son of Man will come like a thief in the night, like floodwaters that rush in without warning. People will be carrying out their routines, doing all the regular things, marrying, eating, working in the field, and then suddenly the world will be shaken awake. Not because God's interested in catching you off guard. The idea that God comes suddenly without warning is not a trap. It's because we're often so distracted, so lulled to sleep by the familiar that we just don't see it coming. Jesus' words are not meant to frighten, but to awaken, to remind us that God's arrival is not an event we schedule. It is an act of God's freedom, an act of God's grace. The word of the Lord from Matthew 24. But about that day and hour, no one knows. Neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Two will be in the fields, and one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, and one will be taken and another left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake, would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. And we sit for a moment in this tension that these two texts name. Isaiah tells us that the future of peace is on the way. There's a time coming that's better than all of this. And Jesus tells us that that arrival is going to surprise you. Isaiah promises instruction that shapes a new humanity, and Jesus warns that the day of the Lord is not something you can anticipate. It's not on your timetable. It's not in your Google calendar. You can't know it's happening. This is the uncomfortable but necessary space of this time of year. The world as it is does not yet reflect the world that God promises. And we cannot bridge that gap by our own effort, by our own control. But this tension is not a sign of God's absence. This is the middle place where God is beginning something new, where longing becomes prayer, where awareness becomes wisdom, where wakefulness becomes the soil in which hope can grow. Isaiah's vision tells us something remarkable about the character of God. The future that God brings does not begin with judgment alone. It begins with teaching. God draws the nations not to defeat them, but to instruct them, to form them, to show them a new way of life that leads to peace. You see, God's answer to human violence is not more violence, It's some new kind of apprenticeship, where God's response to our fear is not domination, it's revelation. And God speaks, and the nations learn. And this is a surprising way of doing things. God could coerce all of this into being, but instead, God invites. God, I guess, could force peace upon the world, but instead, God teaches us how to live peacefully. And that means that God's future is not simply something we wait for that's just going to be pushed upon you one day. It's something that is shaping us in the here and now. Which is why Jesus' call to stay awake is not primarily about scanning the horizon. It's not about monitoring signs or living in anxious anticipation or wondering which doomsday prophecy is the right one. It is, however, a call to bring ourselves into alignment with the world that God wants to bring into being. Staying awake is refusing to sleepwalk through life. It's honoring the presence of Christ now so that we recognize him when he comes. It's choosing the practices of light in a world that prefers the shadows. It's living as though the dawn has already begun, even though the sky still looks dark. Here is where Isaiah and Jesus meet. Isaiah says the nations will stream up the mountains because God's teaching draws them. And Jesus says the Son of Man comes at an unexpected hour, and the wise are those who live awake. And if you put those together, they show us that God's future is already tugging on the present. The world that Isaiah promises is beginning to take shape in the lives of those who stay awake, those who listen, those who learn peace now. Grace arrives not with spectacle, but with formation. God is teaching us. God is drawing us in. God is awakening us step by step. God is showing up differently than we expected, quietly, graciously, insistently, and teaches us how to live in the world while he is making it. So what does it look like to practice Isaiah's vision, to do this wakefulness that Jesus taught? Maybe it looks like a commitment to learning peace. Not because the conflict will disappear overnight, but because the Spirit is already teaching us new ways of being peaceful people. Learning peace means letting our words carry gentleness instead of defensiveness. It means choosing honesty over avoidance. It means asking God to help us lay down our old weapons, the sharp remarks, the grudges, the road rage, the cynicism, all those things that you've grown too accustomed to carrying around. Learning peace is a daily apprenticeship of letting God reshape us into a people who look more like Christ. And maybe it looks like being more alert, not frantic, not anxious, attentive, awake to the needs around us, awake to God's quiet work in our homes, our workplaces, our friendships, awake to the opportunities that we see around us for compassion, that we would miss if we were absorbed in our to-do lists. Awake to the small ways the kingdom comes through kindness, gratitude, forgiveness, through acts of mercy that seem insignificant but can echo eternity. And maybe it looks like practicing hope. Hope is not pretending everything is fine. It's trusting that God's future is not in question. Hope is rooted in God's drawing everyone upward. And who comes like dawn breaking through the longest night? Hope steadies us when the world fractures around us, keeps us feeling rooted whenever everything else is unstable. Hope moves us to act, not because we have all the answers, but because God has already begun to build a new creation in Christ. None of this is about proving ourselves or performing spiritually. These practices are just simple ways that we align our hearts with the world that God is trying to bring into this place. We do not create this new world on our own. We just choose to live in it. We do not create the dawn. We just choose to walk east. We do not make God come near. We simply open our eyes to the Christ who is already among us. Isaiah calls it walking in the light of the Lord. Jesus calls it staying awake. All of it is the same invitation, to live today as the people shaped by God's coming world, to be the people of God's future kingdom in the here and now around us. And so we come to this table where promise becomes presence, where longing is met with nourishment, where waiting becomes communion. Here we taste the world Isaiah saw, and here we encounter the Christ who calls us awake. Here we receive the grace that forms us into people who learn peace. It's at this table that Christ is our host. He is the one who gathers us, the one who feeds us, the one who awakens us. The bread, the cup, these are not symbols of some distant hope. They are signs that the future is already breaking into the present. They tell us that the day is near, the light is rising, that Christ is with us and within us. And as we receive this meal, we step into that apprenticeship that Isaiah promised. We say yes to the wakefulness that Jesus taught. We let God shape our hearts into instruments of peace. We trust that the world God is making is already breaking into this one. So come and walk in the light of the Lord. Come and stay awake to the presence of Christ. Come and receive the grace that teaches peace. Come to the table of the one who is making all things new. Let's stand and sing.
By Christ.